Good morning, everybody. It is, well, you'll be hearing this November 3rd, 2021. Welcome to Radio Laurier News at Noon. How's everybody doing today? How are you doing, Rajni?
I'm okay. How are you? Can't complain, you know?
I'm a little torn, as me and Rajni were talking before the show. A Toronto icon. Like a very famous person in the kind of, I'm sure like some of y'all know Six Buzz. It's
yeah.
It's not the best. I don't like Six Buzz, but Debbie was like this character, this young girl. I don't know how old she was, but she must have been young. Like she looked pretty young.
Yeah.
And she was kind of famous for just being, I don't know, just being herself. That's the best way to put it. She was famous for being herself. And yeah, she actually passed away from an overdose. I think it was this morning or last night.
Wow.
So I just thought I'd say rest in peace to Debbie. I'm from Toronto. I haven't heard about Debbie for years now, and it's kind of sad. But
yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah, if any of you don't know who Debbie is, check her out. Not the most PG friendly content, but you know, we all do what we got to do.
She was so young too. Like that's so sad.
Yeah, man. Don't do drugs, guys, honestly, especially when you're that young and you don't know where you're getting them from.
Yeah.
But, wow. Yeah, we have a bunch of stuff to, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about today. I think I'll just jump into it. So, as I'm sure a lot of you know, the COP26 is happening as we speak. And so basically, it's COP26. The COP26 is the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Glasgow.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's between 31st of October and 12th of November. So it's like, what is that, 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. And this is obviously like the most important and critical sort of climate change conference ever, like just because of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of different things from different sources because it's all happening as we speak, so new info is getting put on Twitter and all these news sites. So I have a bunch of little things I can break down because there's just so much to break down, and it's all really important in my opinion, well I think in everyone's opinion. So one of the major things was, as I'm sure a lot of you know, the Indian, is it Prime Minister or President Modi, Narendra Modi.
Mm-hmm. He's the Prime Minister.
He's the Prime Minister, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's head of state is the best way to put it, I guess. So he pledged that India would cut their carbon emission by 70%. By net 50% in 2070, which is up from the previous plan, which was, I think, 46% in 2070. So that's pretty important, obviously, because India is one of the top producers of pollution, natural gas, blah blah blah, just simply because it's so big, it's like a subcontinent, so it kind of makes sense. So that was pretty pretty important. And one thing I'm seeing, which is kind of interesting, which makes a lot of sense, so we have the COP26, which is like the sort of UN international blah 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 kind of summit with all different member states coming. And this was, like, I think a week before this, there was the G20, which is the group of 20. And the group of 20 are the major industrial nations in the world. So, like, the richest, most powerful, China, India, Canada's included in that, U.S.
Not the U.S.?
Sorry? Pardon?
Did you just say not the U.S.?
No. U.S. Oh, yeah. U.S. is.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, this is a crazy stat. So, the G20, group of 20, is responsible for 80% of global greenhouse gases, and similar for carbon dioxide emissions from burning fossil fuels, blah, blah, blah. 80% for only 20 nations.
Wow.
So, and the sad thing is that in the G20 conference or summit or whatnot, they kind of failed to have any ambitious new commitments, any new agreement. Wow. Just kind of bizarre considering what's going on right now. That being said, this COP26 with a lot of developing nations has been far more productive.
Yeah.
So In fact, these are some of the more interesting things I picked up. So Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, he has told the COP26 climate that he plans to fund $2 billion into restoring landscapes and transforming food systems.
Wow.
And this is after he's got into a lot of problems. People are kind of, sorry about my throat. People are kind of angry at him, Elon Musk, and other tech giants who are spending billions of dollars to get into space instead of, helping.
Instead of fixing the earth itself.
Exactly. So the Bezos Earth Fund plans to spend $10 billion fighting climate change overall. Whether that is real or not, we will see. I think principally it's a good idea, but I also think it's kind of
I
like
think so too.
I think he's just saving his trying to save his name. But if he does end up funding that and it does do some
That's
good.
the thing, because it's like even if the intention behind it is selfish, like he's still actually doing something. So I feel like the net result will be something good, even if his original intention is like just for self-serving purposes.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then on the flip side of that, Elon Musk. So I read earlier a really quick headline. He said he's basically asked the United Nations how $6 billion will solve world hunger. And he said if
Oh
they
yeah, I saw that too.
yeah, and they said if he can if they can give him like a I guess like a roadmap as to how that will work, he'll do
Yeah, I saw that too. He basically was like, okay, bet. He
it.
was like, yeah, if you can show me that this will go directly to the people who need it, and instead of being lost in administrative costs like most charities are, he was all for it. He was like, yeah, let's go. Which I think is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think he will do it, but if he does, shout out to Elon.
Yeah, because I mean, the thing is though, like a lot of people think that when you donate to charity, like most of the money goes to the actual people in need or the cause in need. But lots of money in charities is like lost through administrative costs, like having to pay people to process the transactions and like to actually distribute the charity. And then of course there's always like corrupt people who steal the money as well or like embezzle it too. So whenever people are like, oh, if Elon Musk d donated 2% of his wealth or whatever, it's like that wouldn't really do anything because donations don't always go to where they're supposed to, if you know what I mean, right?
It's honestly everything gets lost in sort of the bureaucratic mumbo jumbo of the world, So, yeah, I think, I don't know. I think the fact that they're even engaging in this conversation,
I think it's good that
like
they're at least
productive.
starting the conversation about it,
It's very productive. And the US has, Biden has been kind of like leading this whole charge into sort of trying to cut emissions. And he has like a sort of plan as to how like the whole world, he's trying to be like the leader in terms of this whole movement, which I guess is, I don't know, like who knows,
That's
man.
an encouraging, I guess, like a good start.
Yeah, like he made a statement. He said we're still falling short on climate, but US working overtime to lead by example. Yeah, it could all be empty words. I was actually watching the COP26 for a little bit yesterday, like watching some of the speeches. There's not all of this. There's so many different speeches and whatnot that not all of it is getting reported. And a lot of the main sort of things that are getting reported on mainstream news sites are like the major US, India, China. By the way, China and Russia were not at the conference. They didn't
Really?
have, yeah. Xinjiang
Wow.
Ding and Putin didn't even show up. So that's,
Wow.
and they're two of the major producers. So that's not exactly good, but as I was saying, I was actually watching, I think it was a Bengali, I'm not sure if he was, if they didn't have like titles, I kind of just randomly like walked in at one certain time into the presentation, but he's either the Bengali prime minister or like some head of the foreign affairs. I don't know, something like some Bengali politician, but he made a really powerful speech.
Oh.
And he's basically talking about how, because Bangladesh is one of the most like at risk countries because of climate change, because it's like right on the coast.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like its geography makes it susceptible to like flooding and whatnot. So he was just kind of calling out just like major world leaders.
Yeah.
Bulk world leaders, and basically telling them, you know, we need to do this now and y'all need to help us. You need, because.
Yeah.
In 2007, the G20 like made a promise to like donate several billion dollars to developing countries to help fight climate change, and I don't think all of the funding really made it through.
Yeah, the thing with the climate issues is between like developing and developed countries is most of the time developing countries are struggling with environmental issues because that's where all the manufacturing is located to fuel the demands of consumerism in developed countries. Like, if you look on the clothes that we buy and stuff, everything's made in, like, China, India, Bangladesh. And those factories there are what's causing, like, immense water pollution, like, landfills, all of that. Like,
yeah.
Because the clothing industry is, like, one of the most polluting industries out there. And when all of these clothes and stuff are made in those developing countries, it makes them look bad because they can't afford to like do the same things that developed countries do to like implement recycling or all of that. Plus like corporate greed prevents them from actually doing anything about it because that would cut into the profits for the companies, right? So it's like, it's so hypocritical for like developed countries to be like saying, oh, you guys need to improve your environmental protection programs or whatever, when they're literally the ones fueling that destruction by their demand.
Yeah, no, literally, it's like, I'm not going to say like every developed country or developing country, sorry, but the majority of developing countries are, a lot of them at least, with like major industry in manufacturing, agriculture, mining. Yeah. These are just extensions of the developed world's.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Even tourism.
Yeah, like that's how developed countries kind of treat them. It's almost like they, you know, they outsource the labor, they outsource the price, they outsource the pollution.
Yeah.
And they just they're like, oh, but it's in your country, like, you know.
Yeah, you should do something about it.
Oh, come on, like,
yeah.
There's so many small, like, changes that can be made, even in Canada. Like, bro, imagine this is an idea. Imagine though. That there was a law that kind of made, this would be kind of weird with COVID, but like if they were just, if the government, Ontario government, federal government, were just to simply tell takeout places to use like disposable instead of styrofoam.
Oh, you mean the recyclable?
Yeah, like the recyclable. Mm-hmm. Like I think there's ones that biodegrade, like whatever.
Yeah, compostable.
Yeah, compostable. Even
well, I thought they did that already, but it's just that like obviously some places didn't comply because you always have like those outliers.
I don't know, like personally I've seen like in a lot of places they're still using styrofoam, they're still using, or like for example, like the weed dispensaries the weed dispensaries right here. I don't know if you've ever gone to one.
No,
but like, I smoke a lot of weed. It's legal. I can say that. buy, like, weed from a dispensary, which is, most of them are, like, government.
Yeah, government.
Subsidized. Yeah. I don't know, like, whatever, you know? Like, a lot of them are government related. They will give you, like, a small little, like, a gram of weed or, like, a tiny amount of weed in this big, like, plastic box. Yeah,
oh,
and it's,
shit.
Like, I can't even. Bro, I've never seen more wasteful packaging in my whole entire life. Like, honest to God.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. It's like the tiniest amount.
Why can't they use, like, those biodegradable sealed pouches?
They could, but they just want to cut costs, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know. But
that seems
anyway,
crazy.
Yeah, let's not get into that. Because who knows how all that's going to work out. But,
Okay, the thing is, every time I've ordered takeout from somewhere, most of the time they give it in those, like, black containers with the clear top. And Like I feel like this may be just an immigrant thing, but I always wash them and save them because it's a
No, I
free
do that too.
container,
I
you
do
know?
that too. I do
Yeah,
that.
like you can just wash them and save them, but the thing is, like, our cupboard is overrun with those recyclable containers, and at
Yeah.
some point you're gonna have to start throwing them out, like recycling them or whatever. So it's like, I wish they had a program where you could bring your own container and have them fill it and maybe get like a few cents discount, you know?
No, actually, I worked at this vegan cafe restaurant thing called Cafe Pyrus, which is in Kitchener.
Oh.
And they have a reusable, oh my God, reusable like takeout container program. So basically you have to put in a deposit. Like when you get your food in this like blue recyclable container, you eat it, blah blah blah, you take it home.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, there's like a bin and you drop the thing back into the bin and you get, I'm pretty sure
Oh.
you get your money back.
That's cool.
And then yeah, you can just keep doing that every single time. And yeah, the containers get recycled, they get reused. It's super sustainable. It's super, it
That's
wasn't
very
like a
cool.
huge issue to manage from someone who
Yeah.
worked here for a couple months.
Because I know Bulk Barn does that too with their you can bring your own containers, but I know they stopped it due to COVID. So, for hygiene reasons.
Yeah, that's another thing, COVID, but I think at this point we've kind of, at least in Canada, we're basically
Yeah, I
through
think
the COVID.
it's at the point where I've seen someone go into Bulk Barn with their reusable containers. So I think it's back on now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, save the environment. Stop drinking bottled water.
Oh my
Except
God, the bottled water.
problem though is in freaking Waterloo, our tap water is so bad.
Yeah, that's true. But you can just get Brita.
Yeah, like I guess it depends like where you live, but last year I lived in a place where like you couldn't, not last year, and first year I lived in a place where you couldn't, literally couldn't drink. Like I did
Yeah.
it, but everyone else, you couldn't drink the water because it was so bad. And even with
That's
a filter, it
disgusting.
still tasted like there was like calcium in it or something.
Ew.
Yeah,
I hate
so
that.
there are problems, there are
Yeah.
solutions, but
Oh, I guess we kind of did it reverse order today. So we did world first, and we can bring it
yeah.
back to Ontario now. So I'm not sure if you remember about 3 years ago, there was something where it was proposed to raise minimum wage to $15, right?
Yeah.
And then Doug Ford had put something in place to stop that by introducing like a tax credit, but where it's like people who make minimum wage don't have to pay taxes, so technically they keep more of their money. But it actually ended up being worse for the average minimum wage worker. So now they're planning to increase the minimum wage to 15 come January. Which
Okay.
I mean that's good, but at the same time, like 15 an hour really is nothing. I'm sorry. Like it's not
Yeah.
enough compared to the cost of living of everything, you know?
And yeah, and people don't really get the inflation.
Exactly.
Especially like Ryan, you've only been in Canada for 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, like up next year will be my 4th year here.
Yeah, so I remember I was in high school, maybe grade, I was maybe like 16 or 17 when they first made minimum wage, whatever, 15, or I think it was, I forget if it was 15 or 14 at the first time that they changed it. But I remember like the first year that they did that, literally everything, all the prices slowly started creeping up, like food, buying food out here is not cheap, bro.
It's so expensive.
Like any takeout meal you want to get, you're
At
spending,
least $15, at
yeah,
least.
15, 10, like 10, 15, nothing under 10, unless you're like, you found a really good spot. Back in the day, like you could buy like a shawarma wrap, which nowadays is like 10, $12. Back in my high school, you could get one for $5 on the dot, no tax, every
Seriously?
lunch.
Wow.
Yeah. And now it's like literally double that in like
Yeah,
4 years.
holy, that's crazy. Because I just did the quick math and like 15 per hour for full-time work is only 600 per week, you know?
Yeah,
And if you're
yeah.
living somewhere like the GTA, your rent is pretty much like
Probably 1,200.
half of your paycheck
Yeah.
already. And
Oh yeah.
then plus, like if you have a car, then you have to pay all your car payments, like your bills, your food. It's just. And how are and you, it's like there's a statistic came out when we were in the pandemic about how people don't have savings, But it's like, how are you supposed to save when half of your paycheck goes to rent and like everything else costs so much, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's,
Even worse if you're working like part time too, because I know lots of companies will give you like 30 hours so they don't have to pay you as a full time worker.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's, yeah. Oh, Canada. It's not as good as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah.
Like, what's the main difference in prices between here and, like, Jamaica?
To be fair, the cost of living is pretty high at home, too. But I do think that, but the wages do not match it. Like, in terms of takeout, the only thing is I would say takeout food is a bit cheaper. Because you can get, like, a whole meal with, like, rice, meat, and a little bit of vegetables for, like, $6 or $7. If you convert the currency. But I mean, like, things are slowly are getting way more expensive too, because we also import a lot. Like, we don't make very much stuff in the country, so of course stuff like gas, clothes, all those things are gonna be super expensive compared to the average wages, you know.
I think also the pandemic has kind of just messed like the world economy. So I think the next 5 years or maybe less or maybe more
will be like recovering, especially because our economy is basically based on tourism. And that obviously took a huge toll
on
that pandemic had a huge toll on that. Cause like, obviously people aren't traveling. People are scared to travel. Like, you know, quarantine requirements, like, scare people away from traveling. So
what a time to be alive.
And then I guess
go ahead,
so to kind of like wrap up about the Ontario news, I'm not sure if you've heard about how, like, you probably know that all the city employees and like government employees are required to be vaccinated, right? So apparently in Ontario there was a debate about whether hospital and healthcare workers should be required to be fully vaccinated, which to me is like, why is that even a debate? Because if you're in a hospital, you're taking care of people who are sick, who have like weak immune systems, especially if they've done surgery or something. Like, you're taking care of moms who just delivered babies, like pregnant women, like all of these vulnerable people. And you're saying that they don't have to be vaccinated. And then the logic they were giving was that, they don't want to have like elective surgeries being delayed because of staff shortages of those who didn't get vaccinated.
True.
But I feel that is a concern, yes, but at the same time, like, wouldn't the death toll and the risk be higher if you allowed doctors who were not vaccinated to interact with people who are already in a vulnerable position? You know what I'm saying?
I don't. Like, what does it say about the vaccine that any health worker would not want to get it?
That's what does it say about the health worker is what I'm saying. Because if you're a health worker, like, you should know that this is, like, a legit thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they, if there are people who don't think that and they do work in healthcare, like...
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know.
That's, like, that's very sus to me. I don't know. And then the thing is, it was already mandated in long-term care. And their logic for doing that was, like, well, we've had proven results to show that long-term care is a high-risk area for people who are not vaccinated. But, like, a hospital is a high-risk area, too. I don't understand what's the difference between the two of them. Like, just because they're old people in long-term care or whatever doesn't mean there's not other vulnerable and high-risk people in hospital settings as well. It just it just blows my mind that it required, like, 2 weeks of consulting with like field experts to make this decision. That to me seems so common sense.
Yeah, I guess maybe there's like a substantial, I mean, not substantial, there's probably like 1% of healthcare workers who maybe like have medical exemptions.
True.
I can't think of like why they wouldn't want to get the vaccine, especially when they're the ones who've been fighting this war. They're the ones that have been advocating
for everything. Like, taking care of people, like watching people die.
Yeah, like, what?
I don't understand it either.
Who knows? But I saw that because of the GO Transit doing the same thing, that like on the first day, that they imposed the mandate. Like, I think there was 80 bus cancellations in the first day.
Wow.
Across the GTA. So I'm like, and they're like, oh yeah, that's only like 1% of our, or 2% of our employees. I'm like,
yeah,
bro, how many buses do you have? It's 2% of your employees and it's 80 like vehicles, you know?
Like wow.
All I know is I take the GO Transit a lot, and it is, it never comes. It comes like every hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I know, like, I know for sure that they don't have, like, 80 buses is a huge,
that's a lot,
huge impact, but they're trying to cover it up. Like, oh, it's like, nah.
Yeah. Don't lie. I also think the problem with the healthcare industry, too, is because obviously it takes so long to be a doctor or a nurse, that there's not enough people, like,
true, there
to replace people if they had to, like, lay them off, you know? Because, I mean, yeah, for, I guess, driving buses, you can get trained in, like, a couple months, right? Or maybe a year.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're a doctor, that's, like, 5 years, 4 years of undergrad, 5 years of med school, and then, like, your specialization. So,
damn. Yeah. Shout out to the doctors, man. I could never be in school for 10
same
years.
I could never.
After high school. But
shout out to them for dealing with like blood and bodily fluids every single day, because I could not manage.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff doctors do that I'm like, why? Do it, and we're all alive. So shout out to them.
Yeah.
But did you hear last story? Quick. Did you hear about the Japanese train attack?
No.
So there's some dude on Halloween dressed up as the Joker. Mm-hmm. On like a subway in Japan, and he like injured 17 people.
Oh my god.
He stabbed some guy, he tried to light the train on fire.
Wow.
He was just, no one died, thank the Lord, but
was he in his right mind? Was he like on drugs or something?
I don't think too much details have been released. I think I just saw the story like yesterday.
Oh,
okay. I think there's people investigating or whatnot, but mm-hmm. I'm sure he was either mentally unstable or like on something, because like, why else would you do that? And bro, there was like images of people like jump, like climbing through the subway windows onto the platforms, and
whatnot. Oh my god, that's scary.
Yeah, bro, and he's dressed as the Joker, like oh god. Yeah, but just a little, you guys look that up if you're interested. It was a crazy story. But yeah, I think we're about reaching time for today. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Recycle. Again, I'm going to say this every week. Recycle. don't drink water bottles.
Reduce your amount of plastic that you use in general.
Take the bus. Eat sustainable if you can afford it. But I can't afford it. So it is what it is. And last thing, RIP Debbie, for real. Everybody go check her out.
Yeah,
really sad story. She was actually like very famous on TikTok and in Toronto. So
honestly, Debbie was a Toronto icon.
For real. She will always be the Toronto icon. Like, honest to God. Honest to God. Rest in peace, Debbie. All right, guys. Have a great week. I'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Stay safe. Bye.